Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making in the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and just like last week, I'm John Mitchell. So here's our topic today, the power of letting go. And this is from a book by a guy named David Hawkins. And the actual title is Letting Go, The Path to Surrender. And I see that it is very similar to this book that Mel Robbins has, her new book, which is called The Let Them Theory. And Kelly, you know a little something about that book. Why? What do you know about that?
Yeah, I think I, first of all, love the book. It is, I would recommend it to anybody.
And you've read it?
Yeah, I've read it. Yeah, I've listened to it. I haven't read it. Although I will hold this up right here. I do have the hard copy too, because I wanted to go through.
Right.
Highlight. So I have both. But what I love about the let them theory is it's so aligned with the think it be it, you know, methodology, you know, being like there are two things that we can control. We can control our thoughts and our actions. Those are the things that we have control over.
Right.
You know, and so with the let them theory, it truly is about, because I think we some in this need to control things, you know, we expend a lot of energy. And a lot of, like, there's a lot of resistance trying to control things, situations, mm-hmm. other people's actions, other people's, and we don't have any control over that, you know? So, like, the let them theory, and again, just kind of off the cuff here, really, is about letting them act and behave the way they're going to act and behave. And there is an acceptance to one degree, but you're more so like responsible for your behavior, because it's really two thoughts. It's not just about, well, let them, like, I'm going to be a patsy or whatever, just let them walk all over me. It's not that at all.
Right.
It is releasing and letting go of the control over what somebody else is doing. And then the second part to the let them theory is then let me. So I can choose how I respond to this person. So if I'm being treated disrespectfully, you know, then, you know, for whatever the case may be, then, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, they're going to behave that way. Let me, this is what I'm going to do in response to that. Or, you know, she gives the example of being whipped into kind of a frenzy over her son's prom. And she wanted right. to control every little bit. They hadn't planned everything, and she was wanting it to be. She just was, whipping around there and so stressed and creating all of this stress and energy, you know. And in that scenario, it would be, let them figure it out. Let them go. If there's not a table ready because they didn't make a reservation, they'll go with it and everything.
Right.
Me, you know, enjoy this moment, visit with these parents, have a glass of wine. Like, it's just changing, you know, shifting the paradigm, because we can't control everything. We can control our thoughts and our actions. And so that let them is about just let them do them. You do you.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. You know, it is a great concept. And I was looking at the description of her book, and here's what it says at the start that I would challenge a little bit. She says, if you ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. The problem is the power you give to other people. Right there, I disagree with that. The problem is you. You know, and I don't know why in this society we are so afraid to say the problem is us. The problem is always us. We're also always the solution. And so if you're giving that power to other people to frustrate you and giving power to things that you don't control, that's on you.
Yeah, that is on you. So I would agree with your statement. And because it's a choice you're making to show up or behave that way, then it is you. You know, you
right.
change about you, how you know what I mean? So I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying and just in arguing that point about it's not you. It's like, yeah, it is you.
Why do you think that there's so much in our society today that where we don't want to tell people it's you? It's you. What is that?
I don't know. I'm not sure culture, you know, with the culture and everything. Now, it's interesting, too, because Mel and a lot of her content has this whole thing like nobody's coming to save you. Like you're like what I mean. So there is that part of the work that she specifically does. But like culturally right now, where, you know, there isn't that, you know, accountability. And there's so much of that victim. Well, this didn't happen because these three things happened that made that not happen, you know. And
right.
Well, no, you know, you could have done something differently that, you know, so I don't know why it is right now. There seems to be just this really high sensitivity and not wanting to, you know, in wanting to be politically correct, whatever that means nowadays. I take that
right.
That isn't
happening
anymore.
Right. Well,
I don't know what it is.
Right. You know, just not to get too off on this, but one of the things I think that is a problem today is that we have an absence of the truth. That now we live in this world where there is no truth. It's all people's opinions. Well, that's just not right. I mean, that there are established truths in our world. And when people don't admit the truth, and the best example of it that I can think of is Trump saying that he won the 2020 election. Not a scintilla of evidence to support that. Yet, you know, him and millions of other people deny that it happened. Well, that's just basically totally unenlightened thinking, and it promotes unenlightened thinking in our society. And I see the value of letting people have their opinions. I mean, the very much this let them have their opinions, but let's figure out which opinions are good. And yes, let's be judgmental. I don't see a problem with being judgmental, because some opinions are so away from the truth that they need to be discarded and shunned. And again, let people have their opinions, but also measure the quality of their opinions based on how close to truth they are. Would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely. And going back to your statement, asking culturally about why we're, you know, as far as just accountability, I think what you just said is tied into it. But I also think that it is like generationally over the course of the last, you know, three generations. I mean, think about like, we know because in talking with the athletic coaches, the parents are some of the biggest challenges, you know,
sometimes
with coaching an athlete. It's the, you know, parents, the parents' expectations. And so we saw that shift with parenting and helicopter parenting,
right?
Where they're like, my kid's not getting a good grade. Yeah. You know,
whose fault is that?
Exactly. Then work harder. It's not because I graded it too. You know what I mean?
And right.
So I think that that is part of what shaped this culture of, you know, people not owning their stuff. And, you know, so I definitely have noticed that shift. And I think it starts, you know, there in terms of how people are parenting.
Right.
And then they're bringing up this generation that, you know, that looks at things differently than that space of radical accountability. Like if I'm unhappy, you know, and if I'm not, you know, where I want to be in life, instead of thinking, well, yeah, that's me. I need to make better choices and I need to,
right.
It's, you know, all of these things happen to me that have led me to be unhappy and be in this. You know what I mean? It's that
right.
kind of mentality.
Well, and I see one of the things I've noticed as I've gotten older is that things that would seem to be so clearly smart, as many as 30%, 40% of the population will not see it that way. I mean, things that are, they're just clearly smart. And as an example, and I've probably talked about this before, this idea to set aside time to deep think a couple times a week, just the idea of setting aside time to think. Well, who the hell is going to say that's not a good idea? Well, 40% of the population is going to say it. And that's just an example, something that is just blatantly true. And if you do look at the research, it's true. Yet easily 40% of the population go, yeah, I don't know about that, that actually sitting back and thinking. Or really? Well, ignore that at your peril, my friend.
I don't know.
But, you know, that's the world we live in. And so that's why I see it's really hard to move forward in our society, because there's so much diversity of opinion and so much of the opinion is harebrained opinions.
Yeah.
But this book that I started reading is called Letting Go by David Hawkins. It says, Letting Go, the Path of Surrender. And this is a tremendous book. And I see that it is taking me personally to a higher level. And by my nature, I probably have never wanted to let go because I wanted to be in control. And then once I developed Think It Be It, that gave me immense control over my life, which was felt very good and is very good and very comforting. And I see that now learning this technique of letting go is so in line with the Think It Be It methodology, because just like Mel Robbins' book is, you can put stuff in there and that's who you will become. And I think that's the problem, like with that Mel Robbins doesn't quite get yet. I hope to enlighten her about this, but like when she says to people, you need to let go, all you're doing is impacting their intentions. They're going to go, oh yeah, I need to let go. Sure. Okay. And then they can't let go. Well, why can't they let go? Well, because they're only conscious mind dealing with their intentions. They're not dealing with the subconscious mind, the actual doing part of them. And that's why if you want to let go, you got to dial it into your daily visualization and rewire your autopilot so it happens automatically without thinking, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And just to give you a couple of instances in letting go, I'm looking at my visualization. I just read a little of it. I now just let go. Letting go brings me what I want, what I desire. I let go of outcomes. I just do my best. I let go of being concerned if people get tippy. They get it if they're supposed to. My focus going forward is on understanding the art of living, the successful art of living. And so it sort of goes into that. And one thing that I sort of like to mention, you know, I talk about my focus now is on letting go and just doing my best. Well, when I was 40 years old and I wasn't as successful as I thought I should be, it came to me, just do your best because that's all you can control. And so throughout my 40s, I just tried to do my best. But I was so unenlightened that I thought that doing my best was just getting up early. And then when I got in my 50s and understood that doing my best was six things of being organized, thinking two times a week, and being a conduit of learning, and foundationally understanding how the human mind works and focusing on what moves the needle, I see that now, at 40, I had understood that, and especially understood how the human mind works and did my best, it all would have worked out fine. But if you were unenlightened and had a misconception about doing your best, not going to work out so good. The way you buy that all that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, yeah, those different seasons and the way you receive things, I think, in the different seasons of life and where you're at.
Right, right. So, you know, one thing that this is a little off the topic, but, You know, one of the things we teach in our methodology is doing a Sunday talk or a week talk, weekly talk with your significant other. And so Ginger and I have been doing this for like, even when we were dating and like, you know, we've been dating, we're still dating. We've been married 14 years and been together another 4 years. So we've been basically dating for 18 years. We're still dating. And she's still my girlfriend.
I love that.
And anyway, yesterday, so we do a Sunday talk at 8 o'clock every Sunday. And we decided that we are going to change up our talk. The way that we teach it or that we propose followers or Tibby do it is make the talk two parts. First part is any problems that happened in the prior week. And the second part is how much you love each other and why. It really doesn't have to be that way. That's the structure, but that's what we've been doing a long time. And so now we decided we're just going to make it, you know, our Sunday talk is about just our relationship. Maybe we're going to watch a YouTube video on relationships. Maybe we're just going to talk about something in our relationship. Maybe we're going to talk about an aspect of each other that we love or something, but a little more free form than it's been. And I'm really sort of excited to see this. And this was Ginger's suggestion. But I'm curious, you do a Friday night date, right?
Yeah.
With Jared.
Mm-hmm.
So how has that time changed over the years?
Oh, good question. I haven't thought about that.
You still do it though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Without fail, every Friday. Well, I say that when he is in town or when he's not, you know, working.
Right.
But if he's here, then we're doing it. And yeah, we're going out. You know, it could be, you know, sometimes too, we might go on a hike. We might go out to dinner with one another, but it's just time that we're spending together. You know, we've got this great house with this water, you know, right on the water.
Right.
And so we spend some time down on the beach with the dog, but like it's a dedicated time where it's the two of us. And then our conversations really are more in terms of just making sure that we're in alignment. And we've always used the on a scale of 1 to 10. You know,
yeah.
Did you rate, you know, the quality of our, you know, relationship or how we interacted this week, you know?
Right.
And so then if it's an 8, it's like, okay, well, what would have made it a 9 or a 10? You know, what are the, then you can give specific examples of like, hey, when this came up, and then it just gives you an opportunity to, I don't know, we really appreciated that framework.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really like that too. Ginger doesn't like to quantify things like that, but I get that. I mean, I got to let it go. That's okay. She doesn't like it. But I see that this idea of letting go, so what applies to every aspect of your life, but especially your marriage and your career. But when your spouse irritates you, just let it go. I mean, just, it's not worth giving energy to it. Yeah, they just show off. Okay, what else? And I see that when they don't want to do something that you want to do, let it go. I mean, and I see how this philosophy of letting it go is really good because it's foundationally based on the vast majority of things don't matter. So there's no sense getting stressed over them. So let them
exactly.
go.
Yep. Let them go. And what I love about that whole, you know, because sometimes it's easier said than done. But what I like is that, well, let me, like, so, you know, I do not, you know, a brother, you know, that unfortunately his whole life has been, you know, involved in addiction, you know,
right.
So there's all of those different elements going on. And he's one way. And I will have a conversation with him. I listen, you know, and then I'm like, there's nothing I can do to help him or support. Like, he's been this way.
Right.
For, you know what I mean? And so it's let me, what am I going to do? Then I'm going to protect myself. And I know that after I have that conversation with him, I'm going to do something that recharges me because it pulls all of this energy off of me. So I'm not
right.
going to fix him. I'm not going to try to, you know, but then I know also what I need, you know, in response to having had that type of an interaction, you know? And so I think these are all just choices, basically. I'm going to choose this. And then I personally, my response is going to be, you know, whatever my response is going to be.
Right.
But that's what I love about it is because, you know, it gives you the control, that control that we so desire and that can, you know, where you can twist yourself around things that, again, right, you have no control over somebody else's behavior or their actions, you know, but what I do have control over is my own, you know, and so I love the control that that gives me. I took my control right back, you know, because of
right,
I'm not giving it away to somebody else and being frustrated that they're not doing it the way I want it done or that they're doing something differently than I, how I want it done. And so it really is, it frees you up. And I think in terms of success, again, I just think about all of the energy that people expend being worried about, being trying to control other stuff that they have zero control over. I used to be one of those people, you know, and what a difference it makes when it's just like, you know, I'm going to, and I want to be clear though, too, this is not you being a doormat. This is not you,
right,
you know, if you're being talked to in a way that you don't, you know, appreciate or whatever, this isn't you just taking it and being like, oh, let it go. No, you know, it's like, okay, let them voice what they need to be said. My response now is going to be, that is not something that I'll accept. Here's the boundary, you know, and, but I'm not really explaining it very well, but I want to be careful because when I first heard the let them theory from Mel Robbins, before she got to the second part, I was like, you just sound like, you know, you're going to get walked all over here and like, you don't care
right
about anything, you know, and
right,
that isn't what this is at all. It's about, let them do their thing. I'm going to do my thing.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting. I see, because I do a lot of podcast where I'm a guest on podcast, and that flows people into our podcast. I can see the numbers rising. And it's interesting as I look at this sea of people on the internet that are listening to us, some of them have been doing our methodology and they are right there. They're like, they're right there with us. They understand it all. They're doing it. It's cool. And then you got newbies that are like, huh, this looks pretty interesting. What are these two talking about? And what I see, if I was going to recap what we've talked about today, is that from the wisdom of other people, you can raise the quality of your life if you'll listen to the brilliance of other people. I had to get what I created from Think and Grow Rich, the brilliance of Napoleon Hill. All I did was figure out how to apply it, but he was a real brilliance in the equation. But I think the sooner you can realize, oh, the better life for me, playing the game of life at the higher level for me is learning from somebody that's already where I want to go. And that's why I say that oftentimes I hope that our methodology takes people to that next level. And like I'm going now to this next level from reading this book, Letting Go. And so maybe as we end this, that's the point I want to convey to people is look for those pieces of brilliance when they come and apply them to your life. And if you're doing our methodology, our 12-minute-a-day way of doing life, this is so compatible because as you learn stuff, you just put it into your visualization, you feed it to yourself every day, and boom, that's who you are after 21 days. It's so simple and easy, and it just works like that. So, okay, any final words?
Nope. I think you covered it. This is good stuff. Like, I love this too. And again, for the people who are listening, you know, this methodology and incorporating this into the methodology so you train your brain to automatically, like when I start to physiologically feel frustration, like I recognize something in my body that is because I'm not controlling, you know what I mean? I don't have control over what somebody else is saying or doing. Then I'm immediately triggering in my mind to like, you control your thoughts, your actions. And then it's like, oh, okay, wait just a minute. How am I going to respond to this situation? I'm going to respond, you know, by, you know, whatever the situation is and whatever I decide to do. But it's an automatic trigger that happens because I've trained myself that when I feel it in my body, because I'm super tuned into that, when I feel the shoulders raise, the blood, me hold my breath, me just tense up, you know, or when I get that thing that's like, ugh, you know, like that irritated me.
Right.
You know, then that's a trigger for me. And I've done that through the work that I have in my visualization, where it's an automatic thing that happens now. And boy, life changes when you are not holding on to everything and trying to control everything outside of your control.
Right. What I see with this idea of letting go and this idea of giving love, I see that because I feed that to myself every day, it just naturally happens. Whereas if someone read Mel Robbins' book as an example, and she says, well, just let go. Well, they're generally not going to be able to let go because all you're doing is conscious mind getting them to giving them an intention. But actually letting go is an action, and that's controlled by the subconscious mind. That's the point I'm trying to make, is if you want to change you, you got to change your autopilot and your subconscious mind.
Amen.
Okay, Becky, we got it. We got it. Okay. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.